Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Today, we're in the second part of a three-part series that Pastor Mike kicked off last week. And he kicked it off by discussing standing out and what it looks like when Daniel stood out. And today, if you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles. We're in the book of Daniel again. Now, go ahead, if you want to, turn to Daniel chapter 6, if you want to. And everyone, if you don't have a Bible, you probably know about this story, Daniel and the lion's den. If you grew up around the church or anywhere near the church or remotely had a church in your area, you had to have heard of Daniel and the lion's den. Now, if you remember growing up, Daniel and the lion's den, these lions, these were these cute, little, cuddly, my son would want to snuggle up to them, non-dangerous animals, right? I mean, we're talking, they're not scary at all. You shouldn't be afraid of them. They probably look like this. Now, all right, maybe not that, but they did look like this. There it is. Like I said, just nice. I mean, listen, if they didn't look like that, who would follow God? Who would sign up and say, hey, let me follow him if they look like this? Or like this? No one is going to follow God at the age of 4, 5, 6 or whatever if you do that. So that I've set the stage for what it looked like as a kid, I want to take that story and apply it to our life today. The title of this message is Stand Strong. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me give you a little backdrop. Daniel at this age, when we talked last week, he was between 13 and 18. Well, he has aged a ton in 7 days because he is around 80 years old now. At this time, he's around 80 years old, served God for 8 decades. All right, he served under 3 different kings. At this time, he's serving under King Darius. And that's where we're going to pick up the story right here in Daniel 6, 1 through 3. It says this, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself, remember he stood out among the administrators and the satraps by the exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, what the heck is a satrap? And I know my wife is probably saying, is he even pronouncing that correctly? Well, I actually can't tell you if I am pronouncing it correctly, but what I can tell you is that a satrap, we could think of that as a kingdom protector. Pretty much what they did is they made sure that there would be no rebellion against the king. And then they were kind of like the IRS, to where they made sure the king got his taxes, and he got all of them. Now, the 3 administrators, one of whom was Daniel, they made sure, they were at the top of the food chain, and they made sure that the satraps did their job correctly and didn't cheat the king. Okay? Now, Daniel, he had already set himself out among others, and now he's about to be promoted, if you will, to vice king. Second in charge to only the king himself. Now you could only imagine, if you think of your job and you get a promotion or anything like that, you could only imagine the other 2 administrators probably ain't too happy, are they? Now, matter of fact, they were upset. We pick up in 4 and 5. It says that this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds to charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. You see, Daniel was standing out amongst his peers, but what Daniel didn't know is he's about to have to stand strong through his peers. Okay? Which leads me to these 3 truths I need you guys to understand today. And there's 3 truths that you want to know when you're about to have to stand strong. And the first truth is this. When God rises you up, expect other people to tear you down. Maybe you got a promotion recently, and the ones that you thought would be the most happiest for you are the ones that's talking behind your back right now, saying that they should have got that promotion and not you. Maybe you just received some great news this week, and you couldn't wait to tell your friends or your family or whoever it was, and when you went to tell them, they flipped the script on you, and before you know it, it was about them and not about you. They kind of knocked the wind out of you right there, right? Better yet, they stole your thunder is what they did. Maybe you had some spiritual growth lately, right? Maybe you've made it a point to be at church on time, every time, even early. Maybe you made it a point to prioritize your day around church on Sunday. You started involved yourself in a community group, started serving in the church. You have responded to one of the heals that Marty talked about that Reveal will die on. You have become a spiritual contributor instead of a spiritual consumer. But those around you who have known you for years, they say stuff like, "Oh, give it only a matter of time. Give it a month, two more months, and I guarantee he or she will be right back to their old self." You know, they've actually called this something. I actually Googled it, so I'm not making this up. It's called the crab syndrome. And what that means is when you put a bunch of crabs in a bucket, individually, each one of those could get out if they wanted to. However, let one of them try to get out, and his brothers or sisters or cousins or friends will take them little claws, and they'll pull them right back down inside that bucket, and they won't let them out. Unfortunately, that happens in the church way too often. You see, God will speak a word to someone's heart. God will stir something inside of you, and you act on it. And then the person that you thought would be the most, that would be excited for you, is the one who tears you down, right? And they say stuff like, "Listen, I've been going to church longer than you. God can't speak to you if he's not speaking to me. I've been in church a couple years longer than you. Listen, do me a favor. Mind your business, stay in your lane, and only the pastor can hear from God and just attend church." Well, listen, Reveal, that's not what we're going to be known about. We can't be known as a group, as a family, as a community, that's a bunch of crabs that's going to pull each other down. We got to build each other up. But the sad thing is that opposition will come your way when you start working for God. Like I said before, when God rises you up, expect people to tear you down. Now, this isn't a 2014 phenomenon. No, this has happened back in Daniel's day. Daniel was going through the same thing that we go through. They were trying to get dirt on Daniel all the time, sitting and having lunch with him probably, talking to his face and being nice to him. Daniel didn't even know he was under attack. Hey, we don't either. We don't know when Satan's going to attack us. If we did, it'd make it a lot easier, I think. But we don't know that. Listen, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle." It doesn't say if you struggle. It says, listen, this is your struggle. I promise you. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. We battle against the prince of darkness," which is Satan. And unfortunately, the prince of darkness will use people, even well-meaning people in your life, to try and tear you down. You see, someone started this rumor a long time ago that if you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you started going to church, and you made it a point to take your mask off and be real with people here and tell them what's going on in your life, that you would never have a problem in your life again, and you would never have a hard time ever, and everything would be candy canes and lollipops. Well, listen, put this on the board for me. If any of you all run into this person, send him my way so that I can punch him in his mouth. Because listen, guys, it's not true. It's an outright lie. Hear me, church. If you are not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, then you are not ready to be used by God. Now, was this the only opposition Daniel would face, right? The fact that they tried to find something against him, and they couldn't find something against him. In our life, when we face temptations, and we face oppositions, and we win the battle once, does that mean the war's over? Does that mean we'll never be tempted again, or we'll never face this again? No. No, and it didn't for Daniel either. Because look, in chapter 6, 6 through 9, New King James Version, it says this. So the governors and the satraps thronged before the king. Listen, they petitioned before the king. I don't know why we have to use the word thronged right there. But they petitioned before the king and said this to him. King Darius, live forever. Now check out all the people that came. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and the advisors, there's a herd of them, had consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree, sign the writing so that it cannot be changed in accordance with the law of Medes and Persians. Therefore, the king signed the written decree. You see, King Darius let his guard down. And I could go off on this too, but Marty kept me to 35 minutes, so I can't do that. But he let his guard down. You see, he had a group of people, the administrators, the satraps, the governors, the advisors, all these people coming and saying great things about him. Probably things like, hey, king, you are the greatest, man. We have never served under a king like you before. Or maybe something like, hey, king, hey, have you been working out? That robe is a little tight around them guns right now, boss. Or maybe it was even like, hey, king, yo, where'd you get them dope sandals at, kid? Those sandals are sick. I need some of them. You see, whatever it was that they said, it worked. And he signed it. Now, I see a couple of ways that Daniel could have responded to not being able to pray to his God, to our God, for 30 days. There's three ways. The first one is this. He could have stopped praying. Matter of fact, he could have made it biblical if he wanted to, and he could have fasted. He could have said, you know what, I'm going to pray all night the day before, and then I'm going to take 30 days off, I'm going to fast from praying, and then pick right back up on the 31st day. Or he could have faked it. And this is probably where I find myself right now. He could have faked it. He could have done the old look up to heaven under your breath, something like this. I just prayed you guys wasn't asleep right now. And then at the end, he could have just blinked, you know, for amen. He gave it a blink. Or maybe times were tough. That week, 2 weeks into it, they're tough. And he needed to get down on his knees and pray to God. So maybe he gave it one of these and pretended to tie his shoe, right? And said a little prayer. And at the end, when he crossed it, he was done. Now, I know y'all in the front seat, I don't have no shoestrings right here, so don't judge me for that. All right, that was an example, is what that was. Okay, he could have faked it. Or the third thing he could have done is he could have kept praying. He could have kept doing what he had been doing all along. And that's what he did. Now, the question we've got to ask ourselves is, what in God's green earth makes him keep doing what he did? I mean, is this guy insane? He's 80 years old. He might be a little senile. We don't know. But is he insane to do this? Does he think it's a joke that he's going to be thrown into the lion's den? Which leads me to my second thought to stand strong. And that's kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. See, Daniel 6:10 tells us this. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. You see, Daniel didn't change anything about the way he lived due to opposition. Daniel didn't run down the streets and start yelling, praying to God, making a scene, because that wouldn't have been the right time, the right place, right? What Mike talked about last week. That when he knew that if he kept doing what he had routinely done before, which is pray three times a day, then that's what would get him through. But he made it a point to get on his knees, to humble himself before God, to talk to God, and to listen to God. When was the last time that you humbled yourself, stopped what you were doing, and humbled yourself before God on your knees and talked to him and listened to him? Listen, folks, a lot of kneeling will keep you in good standing. Think about it, though. Think about it. What if Daniel didn't have this consistent prayer life? What if Daniel did not make it a point to pray three times a day, but only if he had time that day, or only if he remembered to pray that day? What if instead Daniel ran to his friend's house when he heard about it, right? And he ran over here and said, hey, listen, let me tell you what the king just did to me. You're not going to believe what he did to me. Can you believe he's unfair that I can't pray to my God? Can you believe? Poor me. And if that friend didn't respond to him the way he wanted to, he went to the next house. And all he did after that was make the story even more juicy. So maybe that friend gave him what he needed his response to be, to make him feel justified for the way he feels. Are you getting it, church? What's that look like today? Maybe you've been having problems with your spouse, and the first thing you do is run to your phone and shoot text or call somebody, and you say things like this. He just doesn't understand me anymore. He doesn't get me anymore. Or she doesn't respect me. I do everything around here, and all she does is complain. Well, Joyce Meyer says it best when she says, do you run to the phone or do you run to the throne? Your language will either make you or break you. When we say things like, I have tried in every way I can, I've told my friends, I've told my family everything about my problems and about what I'm going through and what people are doing to me, and they can't fix it. They're not fixing it. Matter of fact, some of them are making it worse. Or we do everything in our power and everything that we got, and you just want to give up because the problem's not fixed. And at the very end, we say, well, I guess since I've tried everything else that I know to do, the last thing that I will do, the last weapon in my arsenal, I guess I'll pray. You see, our first response to temptation and opposition should not be to pick that phone up or shoot a text out. It should be to pray. Your language is what comes first. And listen, why is it that when something good happens in our life, our language is always, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that blessing. Oh, man, I'm so happy about it. Hey, but let trials come your way. Let life get bumpy. And God's nowhere near your thoughts. Matter of fact, sometimes we've blamed him for it. You see, Daniel knew something, though. Daniel knew something. He knew that if he made it a priority to pray three times a day, to continually grow in Christ, not just a prayer, but to pray through, to dedicate that portion to him, that it would reap the benefits down the road when trials and temptations came his way. He knew that he would be strong enough to stand strong because he had put God first in his life. Now, how do I make that real for you all today? Well, I open myself up to you, and that's how I make it real to you. And you can ask my wife, and she'll co-sign everything I'm about to tell you guys. Because it, trust me, she'll co-sign it. For over a decade, I made football the priority in my life. In particular, I made America's team, the Green Bay Packers. I made them the priority in my life. Listen to me. No matter what, I have not missed a Packers game live until this season. Okay? I have not missed a Packers game. Listen, my family had suppers, had dinners, whatever y'all want to call it on the West Coast. We call it suppers. But we had dinners together, and I missed it. We had parties together, and I missed it. My wife and kids went on all kinds of things for years without me. Why? Because I made the Packers the priority. I didn't go to church, which means my family didn't go to church because I'm the head of the household, and we got the stats from Brent about if the husband don't go to church, how much of the families go to church. We didn't go to church for 10 years. Because of that. Now, I blame the West Coast because the games come on at 10 a.m. here. It ain't my fault that church and the West Coast, hey, if we're on the East Coast, I'm still serving God, right? No, I'm just kidding. Listen to me. Football was not the sin. Okay? Understand me. And I'm not saying that you're going to hell or you can't be a Christian if you watch football. Because trust me, I still watch it. What I'm saying is that I made football the priority over God, and that was the sin. It ruined my spiritual life. My family had a lot of ups, and unfortunately, I had a lot of downs. My spiritual life had become optional. Matter of fact, it was pretty much non-existent, if I could be real with you. Wise decisions was not made by me at all. But what was the outcome? What was the outcome of me prioritizing football and my fantasy team and the Packers? Let me tell you what it was. I saw every Packers game. I didn't miss one. I caught the live news from my fantasy team every week. Now, I'm not saying that I still watch the Packers. I promise that. But I TiVo every game now. So I miss a lot of other football. But listen to me. I'm not letting football become the priority of my life because I know where that took me. And I make it a point after church to at least talk to two or three people just to prove to myself that I'm not rushing out that door to get home to watch the game. Now listen, football was it, that was the problem for me, and that's what brought other problems into my life because I prioritized it. What is it for you? Is it TV shows that you've prioritized over God? Is it your hobby that you have that you've prioritized? Is it an addiction? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it pornography? Whatever it is, I have found the cure. You might as well call me Dr. Edmonds. I'd like to be paid like that, if that's okay. But I mean, in all honesty, I found a cure. Listen to me. I realized that if I put that same amount of effort and I prioritize that same way, my relationship with Christ and my growth inside Reveal Church, that I would get the same outcome. The results would be the same. And look, I'm standing before you right now. I'm bringing you the message. This is my second one. And when I told you to spank your kids the first time, I thought there's no way I'd preach on the West Coast again. But I'm up here, right? Because God works. Right? Listen, not only that, but we work, me and my wife work with the middle school youth every other week here. Pastor Marty asked us to become a community group leader, first time ever. By the way, we meet at 6:30 on Wednesday, you guys. Don't be late. But listen, he has done that for me because that. Look, I'm not asking for applause. My wife's not asking for applause. That's not the point. The point is that God will open opportunities. He will open doors in your life to grow in your relationship with Christ when you make him the priority. Which leads me to my last truth, which is this. When you do what's right, you can trust God with the results. You see, Daniel didn't know the outcome of the story, like we all do, right? We all know the outcome. Daniel didn't know it, but what he did know is that he was going to stand strong no matter the outcome. He knew that he had grown in his relationship with Christ over 80 years. He knew that he was in a different place spiritually from day one to 6 months to a year to 5 years to 10 years. He knew that he had progressively moved closer to Christ. I didn't say that he read one more chapter a day, every day. I didn't say that. I said that something changed on him on the inside, and that made him closer to Christ as he moved to Christ. Daniel's growth, it wasn't wavering. It wasn't if everything's going good, praise Jesus, and I'm coming to church, but let something happen, and as soon as something happens, that's it, I'm done with God. This isn't, I'm done with him. I'll go to somewhere else and try it. Right? That's not the point. Listen, Daniel's spiritual life was healthy. He continued to push forth, and he stood strong. And the one thing we know is healthy things grow. Plants and vegetables. When they're healthy, you get to reap the benefits. Beautiful plants, and you get to eat the vegetables. When they're not, they die. Right? Babies. When they're healthy, they're these cute little things, and they grow up into monsters. Right? I mean, but when they're healthy, they grow. When they're not healthy, they go to the doctor, and they get some medicine, and they get healthy. Right? Listen to me. If you're in the same place spiritually as you were when you received Christ, and it's been 6 months or 12 months or 5 years, are you healthy? If you've backslidden before then, are you healthy? This isn't something that just happened in the 2000s. Paul talked about it in the Corinthians when he said this in 1 Corinthians 3:2. He said, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you were still not ready. He was telling the Corinthians back then, he was saying, listen, I am spoon-feeding you the Word, because the Word of God is life-changing. But it can't be life-changing if you are only hearers of the Word and not doers of the Word. Right? Not only Paul, James talked about it. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it said, do not merely listen to the Word. Why? Because you deceive yourselves. But do what it says. James and Paul were onto something way back in the day. They were saying, listen, you're not healthy if you're hearing the Word of God and not applying it to your life and living it. Healthy things grow. Healthy things move forward. Now, don't go tell Pastor Marty that Stephen said perfect things grow. Because I did not say that. I just said healthy things grow. Maybe somebody here today needs that today. Listen to me. You've heard on so many occasions on Sundays the Holy Spirit working inside of you, moving you to something, and you haven't answered it. You wanted to, but you didn't answer it. I was that guy. I was that guy for years. I talked from Marty on a weekly basis. God stirring in my life. God talking to my heart. And I didn't answer it till about a year ago. Don't make that mistake I made. Listen, I promise you, you're going to save yourself a lot of arguments and a lot of bad decisions if you do. And we know that true wisdom is learning from someone else's mistake. So if God's talking to you today, please answer it. So how do we finish? How does the story end, right? Let's pick up with it in 16 through 18. It says this. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, check this. May your God, whom you served continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with the signet ring and with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace. He spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. The king knew in his heart that Daniel's God could save him. There's people in your life that's around you that need to hear that. So what happened? Well, the next morning the king got up, ran out to see Daniel, check on him, and check what Daniel said to him. He said this in 21:22. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. Now look, if I'm Daniel, and I was in the lion's den all night, there is no way I'm coming with that response. Listen, when I hear the feet coming, I am starting to yell, letting them know, I told you my God would save me. I told you he was strong in that. Listen, I'm about to tear down this place if something like that happened, right? But check Daniel's response. He wasn't boastful or arrogant at all. He let God do his talking. All he knew is he knew he had to stand strong in the den. Band, come on up. Prayer team, come up. This is the thought I want to leave you with right now. What is the lion's den in your life? What are you going to have to stand strong through, even if the outcome isn't what you think it should be or as fast as you think it should be? You see, the story right before this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They touched on it last week. But I wanted to bring out one verse because I think everyone needs to hear this. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be thrown into the furnace because they wouldn't serve King Nebuchadnezzar's God. And this is what it says in chapter 3, 18. It says this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right before being thrown into the fire by King Nebuchadnezzar, said this: "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it." Now, I want you to listen to this next little part right here. "But even if he does not, we will not serve your God." Are you able to stand strong, not knowing the outcome, even if God does not deliver you today or next month or next year? Or are you going just to continue to try to tackle life on your own way and in your own time and on your own?